change in this world is the Word of God. People change, churches change, world changes, you change, I change. The Word of God standeth sure. Amen. Thank God for that. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And we're going to read verse number 14 and then preach from the first 15 verses of that chapter. In verse number 14, the Word of God says, then he went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You may be seated. Amen. Appreciate your standing tonight. I want to preach for a little while tonight. God be in my helper as long as my voice will hold out. On the subject of, I'll meet you by the river. I'll meet you by the river. What we're looking at tonight in these 15 verses of Scripture is a man by the name of Naaman. Amen. And Naaman was a mighty man, a valor in the country of Syria. I'll go into that in just a moment. But he was a leper. Amen. And now the way we would look at Naaman tonight, we would say, Well, there was a general who happened to be a leper. But the way God looks at it is, there's a leper who happens to be a general. Amen. And the way the world looks at it tonight, they say, well, there's a man that's a president of the United States who happens to be a sinner. But the way God looks at it tonight is, there's a sinner who happens to be the president of the United States. Amen. It's a whole world of difference depending on the way you look at it. Amen. You and I are sinners tonight. We may be sinners saved by grace, but we're still sinners. And hallelujah tonight, if you got saved by the grace of God, you came as a sinner. Amen. So we're looking. And in these days of diverse opinions as to how a man can get saved, and you can run the gamut of the TV channels and you'll have about as many different opinions as to how a man can go to heaven as you got TV channels. Amen. That's right. And a lot of them will smile at you and take your money, and under their breath they're saying, sucker, sucker, sucker. Amen. But in these days we have are about 1,000 different ways to get to heaven. But God says only one way. You say, well, preacher, I didn't have to dip 7 times in the Jordan. I didn't say you would have to. But what I am going to tell you tonight is that you're going to have to do it the way God said do it. Say amen. No other way, glory to God. I don't care if He tells you to get out on the inside, on the side of an interstate, and bow down beside your automobile and repent of your sins. If that's what God says, then do it. Hallelujah. Only one way. And that's the way God says. Hallelujah. So it don't have to be a church order. Now I believe you got here preaching. Faith come about hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How can hear without a preacher? Say amen. Amen. You can't deny that. It's in the Word of God. And this verse of Scripture, these passages of Scripture I preached on tonight backs that up. Because he had to go to the man of God. Say amen. Or the world can discount preaching all they want to. And even a lot of Baptists don't like preaching anymore. But God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save men's souls. Amen. And he ain't changed his mind. So in these days of so-called universal love of God. I mean, that's the excuse for everything. That's the excuse tonight for the homosexual crowd. That's the excuse for the government crowd. That's the excuse for the liberal crowd. Amen. The universal love of God. God loves, He sure does, but He also hates. And God might love the sinner, yeah, He does, but He hates to see it in the sinner. Say amen. And God will talk to you as a sinner, but He will not take you to heaven as a sinner until you repent of that sin. So we're living in those days of Joel Osteen religion. Amen. and Rick Warren's way. Yeah. Hope I didn't hit a snake. If I hit one, I'll sure rip it out of the ground. Because you see, it ain't by Mr. Keith and it ain't by Mr. Warren that we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven because of God Almighty. We're going because He sent His Son, glory to God, to die on Calvary and shed blood. And that blood is the only thing that'll take you and I and Rick Warren and Joel Osteen to heaven. So what we're looking at is a world full of ways to get to heaven. Ophir's got a way. My, I better stay off of it. I better get off of it. Amen. I'm going to stay off of it. Everybody's got a way. But the way to heaven is God's way. It's never been any different. Amen. Since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, since they plunged all mankind into poverty, there's never been but one way. And that's through God Almighty. So what we're looking at tonight is a story, and I believe it's one of the most picturesque stories in all the Word of God, of salvation by grace. You say, preacher, he didn't get saved by grace. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. Yes, he did. It was the grace of God that allowed him to hear. It was the grace of God that allowed him to go down to the river. It was the grace of God that allowed him to get in the river. It was the grace of God that allowed him to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan. It's all by grace. By the way, God won't deal with you except by grace. Anybody says, I don't like the grace of God, you might as well just go ahead and go to hell on your own, because you're never going to get to heaven without the grace of God. It's all by amazing grace. Hallelujah. So what we're looking at tonight is a man had leprosy. Let me say a few words about leprosy tonight. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. Leprosy usually started out as a little small skin lesion. Little round circle. Might be red, might be pink, but it was just a little spot. Might be on the hand, might be on the leg, might be on the back, and I just jumped everything. I'll get it back. Not the first time. Amen. I took lessons from Brother Steve Reinhardt. I tried to pin a mic on him 10 times one night. I give up. But leprosy, listen to me, leprosy. It starts as a little small place. And the one that has that little leprosy only might say, oh, that's just a little sunburn. That's just a little irritation. Huh? You know, it'd be gone tomorrow. It ain't nothing to worry about. Just go on bed and go sleep. Just go on about your own business. It'll be gone tomorrow. Is that not the way sin is? Might as well say amen, because it is. You see, that little sin, that little fox is what spoils the mind. It don't start as some great big adultery. It don't start as some big great alcoholism or drug addiction. It starts with a little snort. It starts with a little puff. It starts with a little look at the wrong person. Say amen. And hey, nobody saw that. I'm alright. I'll be okay. Nobody saw it. Nobody knows it. God knows it. And you know it. And that's the only two that matters in your sin. Oh, amen, brother. It really don't matter that you know their sins. It really don't matter that they know your sins. What matters is that God knows your sin and you know your sin. So leprosy. It's just, you know, Naaman probably saw it one day on his... I need to wash my hands. That's what church is doing today. Huh? I think I'll just wash it a little closer tonight. I don't need to go down that altar. That preacher ain't preaching about my little old sin. No, he's preaching about that guy about having an affair with a woman. He ain't preaching about that guy. I mind this little woman every day at work. Y'all ready for me to leave? You see, we always look at the big sin. 2009 Baptist Church don't believe in the altar for our little sins anymore. Right. The only thing we think, hey, we're going to go to the altar now, somebody's lost without God. Right. Or somebody's been in a terribly big sin. Right. Amen, amen, amen. Right. But no! You see, that terribly big sin, that big sin of adultery that's wrecked that home, started with one little look. Right. Yeah. Nobody saw it. Nobody was looking! But your heart. I gotta move on before I get run off. Amen. That's leprosy. Now let's get into the scripture. Here was a man that had a case. He had a case. The Bible says he had medals of honor. He was captain of the host. Read verse number 1. He was a mighty man of valor. Amen. No doubt Naaman had won many battles. No doubt Naaman had won many medals. He's probably the most decorated man in all Syria. When this man of honor probably when he walked out in front of all the army saluted him.
Yeah.
Here's a man that was a man. This was no sissy. This was no effeminate Hollywood type. This was no transsexual. This was a man. I mean a man. By the way, let me throw this in. My Lord was a man too. He was no effeminate sissy like Hollywood portrays him. He grew up in a carpenter shop. He was a man.
That's right.
He was a man of valor. A man of honor. I expect you to go down to his house and he probably had cases and cases of trophies and medals of wars and battles all over his house. He was a man of honor. Are you listening to me? Get this. I want to nail this down. Because too many, too long we preach about, and us preachers have implied the only one who can get saved is that old side ditch sinner. But the Boulevard executive needs to be saved just as much as the old side ditch sinner. Say amen.
Amen.
He had medals of honor. He had the markings of a hero. Bible said he was a great man with his master. Just as David, after he slew Goliath, they told him, David, they said, Goliath's too big to mess with. David said, he's too big to miss.
Right.
It makes a difference when you look at something through the eyes of God. But just as David slew Goliath, this man was a great man. He had the markings of a hero. He probably had stories of heroism about Naaman circulating throughout all the community. I mean, hey, Naaman. Drop Naaman. We like the name drop too. And I expect that Naaman's name was one that was name dropped. You know, a bunch of soldiers get together, but guess who I saw you? Guess who I rubbed elbows with yesterday?
Right.
I rubbed elbows with Naaman.
Yeah,
Naaman! You see, he was a hero. He was a man of honor. Bible said he had morals in his habits. He was an honorable man. He was a man probably didn't cuss. He was probably a man who never looked at another woman. He was a man who ran his house probably in a good fashion, raised his children to be honest, to be upright, to treat your fellow man in a good way.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
We need a few Baptist courses on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Amen. I'll spell with that too. But this man probably, you see, had good moral habits. He had everything. Would you say in our society today, if we looked at a man like Naaman, we'd say, this man's got everything. Isn't that what the world says? He's got success. He's got good habits. He's got honor. He's famous. Probably got a nice looking family. He probably had the nicest house in Syria except for the king's house. He had it all. But he was a leper. Now I want to say this to you tonight. It don't matter what a man has in this world. And it don't matter what a woman has in this world. If I look tonight at President Obama, he will walk through that door, which he's not going to do. But if he did, I'd shake his hand. He'd say, I wouldn't. Yeah, I would. And I'd say, Barack Obama, my Bible says that you're a sinner that's in need of salvation.
Yeah.
You say, that's the president. I don't care. I got saved by God. And He supersedes the president of the United States. Hallelujah. That's what I tell him. You tell him what you want to tell him, but I tell him. You see, Naaman was one who had all this, but he had a malignancy that he couldn't cure. And I want to ask you tonight to just use a little bit of reasoning. Do you really believe that Naaman wouldn't have traded his general rank to get rid of that leprosy? Sure he would have. Do you not believe that Naaman would have traded all his trophies to get rid of that leprosy? Do you really believe that Naaman would not have traded all of his reputation and his standing in the community to not have to look at that spot of leprosy one more day? Sure he would. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. You cannot convince me unless a man's been turned over to a reprobate mind. You cannot convince me that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this world, deep down in their soul, knows that they traded everything they got if they didn't have that sin. Hallelujah. And by the way, let me say one more thing. That's what it takes to get saved. That's what it takes. Coming down to this altar and say, Lord, I give you everything I got. I don't want any of that anymore. I want salvation. There's the point of salvation. That's it, brother. That's it. That's where people won't come to. They come to the altar pulling their rear over their wagons. Lord, I'll give you my cousin. And Lord, I'll give you my looking at the other sex the way I shouldn't look at them. And Lord, I'll even give you my porno on the computer. But Lord, I want to show you something back on that little red wagon. You see, that's my bank account. And Lord, you ain't getting my money. Back there in my house, you ain't getting my house. And Lord, you can have all the rest of that, but see, I got this job. I work for this job. That's self-esteem. You never get saved with self-esteem. I work for this job. And Lord, I ain't going to give you that job. It's in that wagon. You know what you're going to do with that wagon? You're going to turn around from that altar without salvation, and you're going to bust hell wide open, pulling your little red wagon. Oh, I won't give it up. I'm saying you've got to come to the altar and give it all. Put it all on the altar. There's no other way. So here's a man that had a case. But then there was a message that stated the cause. Starting in verse 2. I want to show you something about the providence of God. Now, if I call it sovereign grace, some people say I'm in a wrong doctrine. So I ain't going to call it sovereign grace. I'm just going to say it's providence of God. And by the providence of God is this. I believe that God worked in your life before you ever got saved.
Right.
See, that's not too bad a doctrine, is it? See, I believe God put you in a certain place, certain time, and put a certain man of God in the pulpit that you might hear the Word of God and the Holy Ghost might convict your heart. Say amen. It's called providence. Now I want to say something about the singular providence of God. Bible said in verse 1, you read it, I didn't read it, but you read it, it says this, that God Almighty used Naaman to conquer territories and peoples for the nation of Syria. That's what it says. Read it. Naaman wasn't saved, but God used him. There's providence. Now watch this. Watch this. You want something to shout about tonight? We'll shout. Now, in that same verse it said that he won a battle down in Israel, and the Bible only records that they brought one captive out of Israel. And that one little captive was a little Israelite girl who happened to have had an audience with a man of God called Elisha. I mean, hello, the people in all of Israel that Naaman could have brought back. God's soul had a was, little old girl who knew God.
Amen.
Don't tell me providence don't work. When I went to Vietnam, I rarely ever tell this. I'll say when I was 13 years old. But when I went to Vietnam, I was in the 82nd Airborne. Anybody in here? Vietnam, anybody? I was in the 82nd Airborne. I was headed for a place called Pleiku, South Vietnam. And it was hot. I ain't talking about temperature either. It was a hot place. I'll tell you how providence of God. Every time I tell this, I run and shout. Because I believe God. I believe God's providence working my life. I got to Saigon. I was 82nd Airborne. Are you listening to me? Headed to Pleiku, South Vietnam. Orders is in my hand. There it was.
Listen,
yeah. Lieutenant Colonel walked up to me and said, "Your MOS is such and such." I said, "Yeah, that's what you do, by the way. If you don't know military talk, that's what you do." I said, "Yeah, it's him." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what." So we got a situation down here about 45 miles south of Saigon. So we need a man down there about 4 weeks. Said, "You'll spend 4 weeks down there, and then we'll put you in the 82nd and play good." That's what he thought. But hey, I had a commander-in-chief with a higher rank than he had.
Yeah.
And that 4 weeks, and I supposed to be there and spent the other 11 months in where the 82nd was, never came around.
Amen.
I spent a year and was the only 82nd Airborne soldier on the whole post. That don't mean nothing to you, but glory to God, it means something to me. You know why? You want something to shout about? Here it is. Because God saw on this date in night 2009, He saw this old country boy saved by the grace of God standing in this pulpit of preaching the infallible Word of God. Hallelujah. You can't beat God's providence. So, Naaman won the victory down there and brought back one little old girl. It was a singular message of providence. But I want to show you how providence starts participating. Yep, but now Naaman didn't know what's going on. I mean, he didn't really think about that little girl. And he didn't think about that battle he won in Israel. He's won a bunch of battles. See? But now God's providence begins to get involved. Because that little girl was put under who else? His wife. I mean, of all places in the kingdom of Syria where that little girl could have went, God put her in Naaman's home and put her right under his wife. And his wife said, "I'm worried about my husband. He's a general. He's a good man. He's a good husband. He's a good daddy. But he got this leprosy." And that little girl stood up. I want to tell you something about that. Glory to God, I'm going to run you. In that day, for a slave servant, to speak out of turn to the master could result in sudden death. It didn't matter that little girl, because she knew God. Are you listening to me? And she said, "Miss Naaman, I would to God." This is what she said. "I would to God that he could get down there in Samaria with a man named Elisha. He's a man of God, and he can cure his problem." Hallelujah. So, how could that man cure leprosy? He couldn't. How can you, preacher, save somebody's soul? Can't. It's not the man in me that's got the power. It's the man of God that's got the power. It's the of God that I'm representing. It's not me. It's not you. Hallelujah. It's the God. Hallelujah to God. Woo!
Hallelujah.
So it was a simple message of participation. Amen. Little as much when God's in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. But then it was a solution message for a problem. Because she said, he, meaning Elisha, he would recover him of that leprosy. She didn't say, maybe. Notice that. She didn't say, well, if he'll go down there, maybe. Maybe he'll get cured.
Right.
Isn't that what Benny Hinn says?
Right.
Come to my crusade, maybe.
Right.
If we pick you, if you're a prize student, amen, if you cooperate, if you pay dead after I pop you on the head, if you donate $10,000 to my ministry, you might get healed.
Right.
She said, no, he will.
Yeah.
She said, he'll do it. If you'll just get down there, Miss Naaman. Miss Naaman, tell your husband. Said, go down there somewhere. Well, Naaman must believe it because he went to the king. Here's the funny part of this verse. He went to the king. And the king said, oh, glory to God. And yeah, I believe it. I believe it. So I tell you what, we'll just patent the thing. We'll just make sure that this little old preacher man down there in Samaria does the job. We'll just get a whole bag of gold. That's what it says. And I'll write some letters from me to the king of Israel. And I'll send you with an envoy. And boy, we'll make this thing official. Hallelujah. In some churches in America tonight, somebody comes to the altar to get saved, they got a check with headquarters. Amen. They got a check with headquarters. Make sure somebody can get saved. I ain't talking about that headquarters. I'm talking about a headquarters over somewhere in Nashville or in Texas somewhere. I'm telling you, glory to God, you don't need that. All you need is the divine oil from the Holy God. But that's what they want to do. King said, I'll get involved. I'll make it happen. Here goes Naaman off to Israel. Goes in before the king. Hands him the letter. Bag of gold. The king said, duh. What do you think I am, God? That's what it said. Who am I, God? I'll tell you what Joel Osteen would do as a service tonight, he'd say. If he'd get on his broadcast or in one of his concerts with 10, 12, 15,000 people and say, I'm not God! He'd do us more service than what he's doing. If Barack Obama would get on before a national TV camera and say, I am not God!
Preach,
get quiet. He'd do us more service. That king said, am I God? My son. They got so upset about it, the Bible said he tore his clothes off.
Yeah. Yes.
So Naaman said, well, I've tried Nashville. And I tried Texas. And I tried California. I guess I'll just go on down there where that little old girl said that prophet lived. And I'll knock on his door and see what he can do. Huh? I've met him before at these uptown churches. That's what I like about these mountains. You get on one of these back streets like this street here, and you just coming around the curve, going down the hill, and I mean, it don't look like there'd be a church within 50,000 miles. And all of a sudden, you come around a corner, and there's a little old Baptist church. But the Boulevard church down there says, no, they don't go down there. Them people don't know what it's all about. That Mark guy down there, he's a fanatic. Them people down there, they actually shout. Did you believe that?
Yeah.
They actually shout. I mean, they actually cry. They believe what they believe so strongly, they actually cry. Amen. But I've seen many of them from them Boulevard churches that tried everything in the world with all their official notices and all their documentation, and they were still headed to hell. I walked in the doors of a little old church like Woodlands has, and the man of God got up and got connected with God, and they got saved. Hallelujah. Naaman said, I guess I'll just go on down there and see if this thing will work. So he went down there and he sent one of his boys up to the door. And Elisha said, they don't say that, See, that's Naaman out there. So he got word that I had the answer to his leprosy. He looked at one of his servants and said, "You answer the door." I said, "I ain't going to the door. You answer the door." And his servant went to the door. That's what it said. And I know that didn't sit well with Naaman. Here he was a general in the Syrian army. And they had just conquered territory in Israel. These were people who should have bowed down to him. But Elisha said, "Hey, you're just another Joe to me. You're just another sinner to me." He said, "Go out there and tell him, go dip seven times the river Jordan." So his servant went out there. By the way, the servant met him at the door. Let me do a little sidebar preaching here. God Almighty never has talked to your soul. Only one that's ever talked to your soul is Jesus. Are you listening to me? You see, God sent Jesus to the door of this world. And Jesus said, "I want to come in." And the world said, "No, we don't want you." Is that right? The world's still saying that night. He said, "I am the door." He didn't say, "I'm knocking on the door." He said, "I am the door. If any man come in, he enters in by me." Glory to God. But God sent another one to the door. At the day of Pentecost, He sent the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus knocked on the door for sinners. But the Holy Ghost knocked on the door for the saints. Can I come in? That's what Pentecost's all about. That's what it's all about. You listen to me. The Holy Ghost said, "Hey, I'm not here to save you. You already got saved. I'm here to indwell you. I'm here to hold your hand." Somebody shout. "I'm here to hold your hand. Hey, when you're down over the graveside, I'm the one that's going to whisper those sweet nothings in your ear. I'm the one that's going to tell you that I'm ever present help in time of need. Glory to God. And guess what? I'm never even going to say a thing about myself. I'm going to tell you all about the most one that knocked on the door. His name is Jesus." That's how you can divide these ministries on TV. That's how you can divide charismatic ministries. If they talk more about the Holy Ghost and the movement and the fruits of the Spirit, and all they want to preach about is the miracles and the book of Acts. Acts is not a doctrinal book. Acts is a transitional book. You do not take doctrine out of the book of Acts. If you do, you're going to be a charismatic flop. Amen, Brother Mark. You preach it, yes. Miraculous events, yes. But you don't take doctrine out of it. Let me go on. But here was Naaman. Naaman got out of it. So here I am, a general. Here I am, a man of honor. Here I am, a man that's gone everywhere. And this idiot thinks I'm going to go down there and dip in that old muddy Jordan. He said, "Isn't the rivers in Damascus better than the Jordan?" That's what he said. You say, "Well, that was then. What about now?" That's what people are saying now. They're saying, "This Boulevard Church appears better than that old Woodland Terrace down on that side street up on the hill. This Boulevard Church got nice stained glass windows. And that Woodland Terrace Church, they don't have a stained glass. And we got a pipe organ up here on the boulevard. And y'all don't have one. So isn't the church on the boulevard better than that church on the back street? Not unless God is in it." So when he said, "Is those rivers in Damascus not better?" The answer was, nope. And the reason was because God said, "I'll meet you by the river." Now I'm going to say, promise God one more time before I run out that door. Here's another case where the servant spoke up and actually disagreed with their master. That was a death sentence in those days. But the Bible says his servant said, "Wait a minute, Naaman. If he'd asked you to do some great thing, If he'd asked you to go out here on another military campaign and conquer the whole world, you'd have said, okay, I'll do it. If he'd asked you to bring him a million in gold, you'd have done it, Nathan. But because he asked you this little insignificant thing, you don't think you're good enough. It's funny how the message of God is so plain even when it comes to a servant. So Naaman said, all right. Okay, I'm going, boys. I'm going. Now I'm going to show you how I get saved. First thing the Bible says that he went down to the River Jordan. Did it say he went up the River Jordan? It did not say he went down. Read it. Down to the River Jordan. He went down into the water. And then he went down under the water. The only way you'll get saved tonight is down. You cannot get up and get saved. You get up after you get saved. The only way to get saved is go down from your self-esteem and down from your self-righteousness and down from everything that you've got and down on your knees and down to the bottom of yourself. Then you could come up in newness of life. Then you could come up in resurrection. Then you could come up with a new birth. Then you could come up a child of God. Hallelujah. So here goes Naaman. Here's the average doubting Baptist today. He gets in the water. And he said, okay, I'm going to do this. So he goes down. And he comes up.
Yeah.
I told you, boys, it won't work. One of the servants said, that old man of God said, seven times.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, that's what's happened in our churches. Man of God stands and says, you have to repent of all your sins. You've got to come clean with God. And people stand back there and say, no, I don't have to do that. All I've got to do is turn over a new leaf. I'll just dip one time. But the problem was when he come up, that leprosy is still there. So he goes down again. And he comes up still there. And I told you, boys, it ain't going to work. He said seven times, maybe not two, seven. The man of God said, repent of all your sins, not 98% of them.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't that right?
Yeah.
And so he goes down third time. He goes down fourth time. He goes down fifth time. He goes down a sixth time. He said, boy, this is still here. This is not going to work. I've been down six times.
Yeah.
Go ahead. He said, try it one more time.
Yeah.
Preacher, I've been to that altar.
Yeah.
I've asked God to save me. But did you repent of all your sins?
Yeah.
Did you dip seven times? Or did you dip six? Six times.
Yeah.
You know what man of God tell you? Try it again.
Yeah.
One more time. Isn't that all we need God to do tonight? Just one more time.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about next Sunday. We might not ever see next Sunday. What we need is one more time tonight.
Amen.
Right here, right now. One more movement of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh yeah, it might be your last one. Glory to God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go out, shout, and glory to God. So Naaman said, I will. All right. I hear old Naaman say, well, I've surrendered everything I've had so far. But I guess I need to surrender all. And he goes down to seventh time. And he comes up. And he looks at the hand. Well, glory to God.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And guess what, boys? Not only is it gone, read that scripture, see what I'm saying. But you know, I'm 50-some years old, but my hand looks like a little child. That's what the Bible said. Is that not what it said? Read it. Read it. His skin was like that of a little child. Jesus said, if you will not humble your As a little child, you'll never see the kingdom of God. I'm almost through. But one more thing. In that, I believe it's the 15th verse. Naaman made the whole time greatest statement that will ever be made by a person who just got saved by the grace of God. That brother said it, those that sang said it, Brother Mark said it when he was opening up church. He said, "Now I know that there's a God in Israel." I'm going to tell you, glory to God, you tell me somebody said they got saved. There's no God is. Every time. All the time. You won't have to tell them who God is. Why should I have to tell? Why should you have to tell somebody who God is when they just held the hand of God and got saved? By the way, somebody gets saved right there. Church, listen to me. You just got as close to God as you're ever going to get. Think about what I just said. But you know what we're doing in 2009? Somebody get saved?
Go ahead, preach it, brother.
Yeah.
Preach it.
Yeah.
Amen.
We go home, somebody call house church today. Oh, that's true, saved.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it was when I was a kid. Somebody get saved. First of all, there's a group of old mourning men sitting over here in the corner. They call them mourners. The whole time that man of God was preaching, they're over here praying. Somebody walk out of for Jesus, glory to God. It's time to start praying. It's time to start praising. So the mourners will be taking laps around the church. And then glory to God, and rest to God. People start praising the Lord. It was a joyous time when one sinner got saved. Naaman said, "Now I know." He was a man who knew it all. But he just found out and just learned something that he'd never learned before. He said, "Now I know God." Hallelujah. Come on, brother. Come on.
Thank God. There's a lot of ways to heaven. You can hear it from the Lord.